Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I got the meeting of the minds here.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, this is an all-star crew. What a humbling experience to be in the presence of Coach Warzu and the infamous Panther Rants.
I mean, I'm blessed to be here.
I know. I got so much. I mean, I wish I could have had you guys before the tournament. I could have known who to, what teams to pick. But I don't know. It's this tournament's so unpredictable. With you know,
I'm not sure I could have been any help. Though I probably would have taken Kentucky to the Final Four.
Yeah, I had them losing. I think Purdue. I think in Elite Eight. I have to double check, but I had them. I didn't have. I had Baylor and Gonzaga facing off in the Final Four. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had.
Yeah, I had Gonzaga win it all, but I don't fill out a bracket. Mm-hmm. Warzu.
I had two brackets, and I had one with Kentucky, so that's obviously done. And then I got Purdue winning it all. Same with my preseason pick in one of them. Purdue over
Arizona. Yeah, you're a big Ethan Morton guy.
not necessarily a big Ethan Morton. I'm a big Jaden Ivey guy. I feel like that was more – I kind of had them as a sleeper last year getting to the Final Four. And I figured, hey, maybe I was a year early, you know, with that pick.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I'm watching. They're showing some old guy dancing in the crowd at the Creighton game.
Yeah, I don't know that. I still think that the game last night, the best one of the tournament so far. No.
Yeah, I agree. What about you?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I mean, the Richmond Iowa game was a pretty good game today. But I mean, the Kentucky game's up there. It's been a very good, I thought it was going to be more of a snoozer the first day for some reason, but it actually turned out pretty well. I'm going tomorrow, so I'm hoping it's a repeat of the first time, in Pittsburgh last year, or I mean, you know, 4 years ago, whatever that was. We had some good games.
Who's all in that bracket tomorrow?
So the early set, I believe, it opens with Loyola in Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And the 3 o'clock game, I want to say, is Villanova.
Yep.
And then UAB Houston at night, and then maybe Illinois. I know Illinois Chattanooga is there at night.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of good games right there outside of probably the Villanova game. Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of seeing Villanova here.
Yeah, I mean, they might as well be in Pittsburgh with how often they're here now.
Yeah, I mean, give me another team.
Right, right, right. Tired of seeing Jay right here. He's given us enough misery.
Yeah, I know. Ever since Scotty Reynolds, I love seeing Villanova in the tournament.
I'll be honest with you guys. I have not even – listen, I'm not even lying. I have not seen – that Scotty Reynolds shot ever. Because
ever?
It's a crazy story. We were at lot 17 at the bar watching that game. DirecTV cable goes out. Right when the ball is inbounded to Villanova, is about to be inbounded by Villanova, the cable goes out. People are standing on the bar going crazy. Cable comes back on. The ball is through the net. I have not watched the replay. You might think that I'm exaggerating. I have not watched the replay.
Wow.
Not even seen it at all.
That was the year after I graduated. Me and my brother flew up to Providence and then took the train into Boston to go to Sweet 16 and in the Elite Eight games. That was not a good trip home. That was heartbreaking.
Yeah. That was right before I moved to Houston. I remember I watched it with my dad and my uncle, and I just remember my uncle, I swear to God, he looked like somebody died. He just, yeah, I thought we were at a funeral home together. He looked like he was about to cry. That was a pretty painful. I've rewatched the replay of it to see, you know, what went wrong, and I don't know. He just got the ball and made a hell of a play.
Well, the Jermaine Dixon turnover before that was even, you know, probably even more that's probably even bigger play than Reynolds going to make that play, you know.
You're 100% right, and that's kind of like I feel like that's kind of like the Barry Bonds Chico Lean type of scenario where everybody's blaming the Barry Bonds bad throw, but it was kind of that Chico Lean error where you're right. That Jermaine Dixon turnover might have been more costly than maybe the Ole by Gill or, you know, or whatever.
What about the missed third strike?
That
was pretty damn bad too.
That was also bad.
I know.
What was a more heartbreaking moment? Cincinnati or football in 2009 or Villanova in 2009?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I'll be honest with you. Somebody brought it up on Twitter, and I never even thought about it like this. I was there for that Butler loss, and maybe because I saw the ending, that was more heartbreaking than the Reynolds ending because I never saw it.
Right.
But man, I felt like they had a great chance once they got through Butler.
Well, I've said to people like, you know. The difference between coaching like coaches is like so thin, it's unbelievable. Like if they win that game, who's to say they don't make that same run, like you just said, they don't make that same run that Butler makes, and Jamie Dixon is coaching in the NBA instead of Brad Stevens?
No, I mean, you're 100% right. I mean, USA basketball got ties to a lot of those big time young guys, you know. That's a great point. You know, like I said, I was there, you know, in the building for that. So maybe I have a little bias towards that outcome being more disappointing. But I love going against the grain and non-cliche, I guess.
Yeah, Shelvin. Yeah, I think Jimmy Kate coached, he coached Shelvin Mack, I think, in that U19 tournament. I think it was right before that season began, I think.
Right. Yes, he did. 2009 Cincy football for me. Because I didn't get to go to the game. I was coaching at La Roche College at the time. Mm-hmm. And my brother's texting me scores while I'm on the bench. And he said, it's like 31-14 or something. And he said he just booked his ticket to New Orleans. And that asshole against us.
Oh, man. That's back when I had Pitt football season tickets. And, you know. Like you said, they're up 30. They're up big, and we're around all kinds of Cincy fans, and we're getting into them. Yeah, oh, Papa, see, it's a Papa John's Pizza Bowl. See, it's the Little Caesars Bowl. You know, luckily, our buddy who was at the 50-yard line down low said, "Hey, come on down." You know, at halftime, we had seats down here because there was all Pitt fans. Or I couldn't imagine the scene if we had stayed up around those Cincy fans up, you know, in the 300 level or we're at 200 level in Heinz Field. It could have been bad.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Is that Cincy loss the worst Pitt football loss of all time? In your lifetime.
Yeah.
I think that's the worst I've ever experienced. I don't think I've ever been lower than that.
I mean, just the expectations. And look, you can't count the Fiesta Bowl against Utah because that was like the first, you know, we're going to get back.
Right.
I mean, especially because what that could have did for the program, you know, all of a sudden to win that, you're playing against Tim Tebow in Florida in the Sugar Bowl, and you probably fare better than Cincinnati.
But once, that might still be the coach if he wins that game.
Probably, 100%. Yeah.
Because it was a very fine line of him getting fired or let go.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the Sun Bowl, I think, really he really fell off favor after that Sun Bowl. And I think, you know, after blowing that game against Cincinnati, I think that was pretty much the beginning of the end for him. You know, that final year they were Big East favorites, and they start off bad at the gate, and then they recovered a little bit, and then all of a sudden they just that backyard Bronx Morgantown. You know, that was like one of the worst backer brawls I've ever seen. They just got destroyed at home.
That Thursday night Utah game was just a disappointment. I mean, another disappointment where, you know, that was a Pitt team where you thought, man, you know, they could get back. They could – another disappointing loss to start the season. And it, once you lose that one game, it's over.
And then, the moment I knew it was over, was we're playing Miami that year in 2010, and it's like 17-3 in the third quarter, and there's a defensive timeout or whatever, and we're getting our ass kicked, and the entire defense is out there, like, dancing to, you know, whatever the popular rap song was at the time. It's just like, you know, you're getting killed.
Is that
when
Dan Mason got injured? Is that that same Miami
game? Yes, that was when Dan Mason got injured. Yeah. Yep.
It's funny you say that, because I was losing my mind coming out of there, and because those guys were on guys are on the sideline laughing and stuff. They're getting embarrassed on national television, and like you said, guys are on the sideline dancing and laughing. It was insane to me.
Yep, no doubt.
Yeah, but I think the point the players were kind of – I don't know if they – it seemed like at times they didn't take once that serious, you know, like they just – I don't know. There was times where people felt that Dave was more, I guess, easy on the players and, you know, than other coaches were. But I know. Yep. And I think there was a report where there was a lot of off-field incidents for Pitt that year, and he had nothing really to stand on after that. I mean, he – you know, what – you know, once things went downhill, that was, you know, that was about it. He, you know, and then of course we went through the whole coaching carousel until Narduzzi came.
Yeah. Oh, geez, that was a cast of characters going through Haywood and then Todd Graham and then having Chris. We were just was he bland?
He was.
I mean, that was a disaster. What a disaster bunch of years for Pitt football that was.
Yeah, it
wasn't looking too good with for a little bit with Narduzzi either.
No.
You know, luckily he salvaged a little bit this year. To be honest with you, I still think the season was a little more disappointing than most due to the fact that I don't know when Pitt – well – granted, thankfully, they look good for this coming year, hopefully. But who knows when they'll be in that position, you know, moving forward where they could get to, you know, the playoff. But then they lose to a team, you know, a team like Western Michigan, who's not even top tier in the MAC, but they're a middling to bottom tier MAC school. I don't know. You know, a lot of people think that this season was a great success. It was a great season. Pickett had a great season. But to me, looking back compared to other seasons, I think it was more of a disappointment just because of where they could have been without another one of those typical Pitt, Narduzzi letdown losses. Or even you could even bring back Wani. I mean, all those Pitt letdown losses. I mean, it just all goes back to that.
It's been that way since 1982.
I remember I had season tickets for 2003, and you know, and that was a big year. I think they were preseason top 10, top 15. Larry Fitzgerald, Heisman candidate, Rod Rutherford coming back, and they had a defense. I guess, but they lost some key components to their defense, and they just couldn't stop the counter for the counter misdirection plays for anything. They're just their defense, and of course Brandon Myrie got hurt, and they had no running back for the most part, and pretty much the offense was pretty much Rutherford, you know, throwing the ball to whoever.
Right. Who was the backup on that team? Was that Nick Going?
I think it was Jawan Walker, actually.
Oh, okay.
When was Nick Going there?
He was there with Kevin Barlow.
That's right. It was Barlow and Going. Yeah.
And Wall kept shuffling between both of them. I think both Barlow and Goings went to the NFL. But I think Goings played for Carolina for a little bit. And Barlow, I guess, had a few years in San Francisco, and then he just, I don't know if his career just flamed out or what.
Right. So let's talk some hoops.
Yeah.
Let's go into Warzu. Have you had any games that you like today gambling?
You know what? Today was not that great of a day. Was 1-1. Actually, it hasn't been that bad. 1-1 so far. I got Arkansas on the back end of a two-team money line parlay with Providence. I'm trying. Kentucky screwed me. Had them -16. We'll rip that. Is the back end of a parlay. We'll rip that up. And then I got Mercer -2 tonight. Hoping to get hot tomorrow.
Yeah. By the way, I just came across on Twitter that Dickie V had Iowa versus Kentucky in the final game.
Well, I tell you what, Dickie V can rip that. He can rip that one up.
I feel bad ripping on him just because of what he's been going through. But man, that's a brutal first day.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's not a good start to your bracket. I forgot that I did have Iowa in a money line parlay, and they screwed me. I thought that Richmond was going to be, kind of out of gas. I thought, listen, when you're 2 for 20 at one point as a team from three. And yeah. The McCaffrey kid's 4 for 6. You know you're in trouble.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, I mistakenly took. This was good. I took St. Peter's with the +18 on Kentucky. So I did pretty good there. I took New Mexico +6.5 over UConn, but I took the under, which was 132. And yeah, they scored 133. So yeah, there's. I hate picking unders because they're always stressful.
Yeah.
So who do we like tomorrow? Who's everybody's lean tomorrow? I know Loyola is a popular pick. I know because Ohio State has been struggling. To be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm out of the gambling game, so I don't know. Who I'd pick, but. And I don't even know the line, so I can't go with anything like that. But, what are you guys' thoughts? Usually you want to fade whoever the entire public is taking, though. So,
exactly.
I don't know if I'd take Loyola.
I'm a big fade the public guy.
Plus, they have a new coach, too. I mean, they don't have the same coach as before. And
Sister Jean's still there.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I like I said in my earlier podcast, I said I'm surprised the churches don't invite her and like have a cover to get in the church.
Oh, she should listen. She should be eating for free at Epiphany. She should be eating for free at Epiphany tomorrow for sure. Give Sister Jean the double halushki, the mac and cheese, the 1 pounder, and send her out the door. Let's get Loyola a win tomorrow.
Oh my! You're a Sister Jean fan.
Listen,
I'm so sick of Sister Jean; it's unbelievable.
It's a little close to my heart because I was helping out Coach Seifert over at the Shady Side Boys and Girls Club, and a little known fact: Sister Jean's first year at Loyola, he was on the basketball team.
Oh wow!
Oh wow! Nice.
And the crazy, here's a crazy story about this guy, Peabody legend, multiple sports, goes on to play minor league baseball for the Cardinals, quits, enrolls at Loyola Chicago to play hoops, plays like half a season, and the NCAA says, hey, we actually forgot that you took money to play minor league baseball, so you're ineligible and you can't play college basketball ever.
Wow, that sucks. That's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, this is what? I mean, whenever that was Sister Jean's first year there, so that's got to be what, 70 years? I mean, shoot, 60 years ago.
Jeez.
70, I mean, yeah.
It's amazing that old bag's still around.
Listen. Yeah, I mean, let's just hope she gets through this. Let's hope she gets through this tournament. She's close.
Yeah. I mean, the last thing we need is for her to die on TV.
Oh, yeah, that would be bad.
Jeez.
What about TCU and Seton Hall? Does Jimmy Dixon get
I have TCU. I like TCU only because I think Kevin Willard's already focused on Maryland.
Yeah. That and is Bryce Aiken out? I think he's out as well, or maybe he's back in the Auburn.
I don't know. I haven't seen that.
Okay. Yeah, I think Bryce Aiken is out, but I'm not sure. I mean, Kevin Willard to Maryland. That's a good thing.
Yeah, because I think Jamie won a tournament game for the first time since, 2014? Maybe earlier.
Maybe a lot longer than that, I think. It's been a very, let's see, the year after Butler? No, the year after Butler, they didn't go to the tournament at all. I think it has to be right after Elite Eight, probably the year after Elite Eight, maybe, I'm thinking. It's been a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if he wins a tournament game, if he somehow wins two tournament games at TCU, he should get a lifetime contract.
Oh, tough place to win.
Yeah,
I've sent that to Lee Nalen, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've been in that gymnasium too for Texas Christian. It's basically before I renovated it was basically a glorified high school gym. I mean, I'm talking probably Division I AA, maybe less than that. I mean, it's not that great of an arena.
We are driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I mean, it only seats like 6,000, right?
Yeah, Rice basketball sits even less, and like it's basically it's almost like a glorified like middle school gym almost with bleachers. I mean, I like go there because I can get really good seats to watch to watch college basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing the job he's done there. And like, they have such a young team too. They're going to be freaking good again next year. So, it'll just be interesting to see if he can add one or two pieces in the portal and really take that thing to the next level.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what he's going to do there. Like you said, they have a young team. So, you know, they can snag one or two of these, you know, these big time transfers who are veterans. Man, the way Jamie gets a team prepped, from one day to game time is amazing to me. If there's one thing that he can do, it's get guys ready for game day.
Yep.
He does, yeah. Whereas, yeah, I mean, that's the thing about Jamie is you never can rule him out no matter what, because he's always gonna fix up something. Whereas some coaches are just you're doomed from the start. So
I'm reading some Kentucky message boards right now. Oh boy, is it funny. They're talking about how they actually legitimately hate Calipari.
That's a bold statement to make. That's the same as when I saw a tweet of some Yankees fan saying that, like, you know, the giving me the oh woe is me. Like, come on, man, you sound stupid.
If I remember correctly, because I remember you retweeting this, I believe he said that they're the unluckiest franchise ever or something like that.
I'll tell you what. If they are the unluckiest franchise ever, my God, I want my team to be the unluckiest franchise ever.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, because, they have plenty of money. I'm sure the Dodgers should have nothing to complain about. I mean, they got some really they've signed a whole bunch of people.
Right.
I've distanced myself from – listen, I gave up my fantasy baseball team to my son. I'm done. I have so little interest in Major League Baseball at this point in my life, it's ridiculous. I'm happy with going to my, you know, Akron, Altoona to see some minor league games, drink some cheap beer. That's it.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
we got –
it's just a disaster. I'll go to the first day and then won't go again.
I don't even know if I watched 2 full innings of Pirates baseball last year.
Yeah, I didn't watch much Pirates. Well, I mean, other than Houston, so I don't watch much. I mean, but down here it's the Astros, and I didn't watch much Pitt basketball this year at all. I mean,
you didn't miss much.
Miss much at all.
I didn't bother going on Twitter either to tweet about it, because I just, you know, my feed was nothing but misery. So I felt like there's no sense of being miserable. I'll just go do something else in my life.
Listen, there are people still out there fighting the good fight and holding out hope for Jeff Capel. All you people out there, I don't know how many of you are listening, maybe 2 or 3. God bless.
Yeah. they're going down with the ship.
Like, you're not a capable believer, was it?
It's like the movie Titanic, where the band's still playing, a lot of ships sinking. There's a few guys out there, you know who you are, where you're still playing that violin while the ship's sinking.
and to make it worse, I mean, you got who else? I realized yesterday, Parker Stewart and Marcus Carr are in the NCAA tournament. Well, I think
Dan Xavier Johnson don't mind all these guys.
Yep.
All these counties
in the tournament don't mind them.
Well, you know what's funny is what's his name? Teddy Allen for New Mexico State. Is that his name? Teddy? Yeah, Teddy Allen. Mm-hmm. New Mexico State has 34 or whatever he had. Didn't play at West Virginia, or wasn't good enough at West Virginia. And then Oscar has 32 or 30 and 16, obviously what he was. So, I mean, they're having the same problem. They're running off these kids that are killing an NCAA tournament. It's all over. It's all over. It's so tough to keep kids now.
Listen, I'm just trying to picture John Hughley in the Kentucky uniform next year. I'm trying to picture him in the Ohio State scarlet and white.
You could certainly see it happening. I don't think he's going to leave. He would be one of the few I think is definitely going to stay.
Yeah, they stuck by him.
I could see pretty much everybody except for him and Burton leaving.
Well, they had two guys leave already, but those guys were more. Noah Collier and Chris Payton, really. They were just. You know, they're, I guess, bench warmers, I guess. I don't know. They didn't see much time, so they're not that big of a loss.
They needed some attrition because they need, you know, they need to get better players. But, you know, it'd be nice if you had one or two guys signed by now. You know, you can't rely on getting you know, they're probably gonna end up having six open scholarships. You can't rely on six new portal guys. Like, you gotta have some sort of class balance.
And yeah. especially being Pitt. I mean, especially being Pitt the past couple of years. I mean, you can't. I mean, what are you going to rely on? On other mid-major guys? Listen, Mogi was a bright spot. Bright spot.
Kevin Durant, man. Day,
are you going to keep relying on mid-major guys that nobody else wants?
Mm-hmm.
To come in and carry your team, because if that's the case, it's going to be like Bill Murray and Groundhog's Day. Like, we're going to keep waking up to 21-22, 21-22, 21-22, because like, who cares about these guys? Saban, like, when I hear people say, oh, well, if they had Saban Day and all year, like, okay, they'd have two more.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if they had this guy and this guy and this guy, okay, what they'd have beat Virginia maybe, and they'd have one more win. Like, but let's pump the brakes here and think about getting good players instead of keeping saying, well, oh, well, next year it'll be, well, Will Jeffress, he's only supposed, he really should only be a sophomore because he, guys, enough. Like, he is what his grade is right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, once you're in college, nobody cares about any of that stuff. You know, no one's going to feel bad that you enter college early, you know, when they're dunking on you as a 24-year-old.
When he's in the portal and ends up at St. Francis in Loretto in a year, I mean, we'll all say, well, you know, technically he should be a senior right now. I mean, he should be a sophomore right now or whatever.
Yeah.
give me the guys like Peter Kiss who are 25 that can lead the nation in scoring. You know?
Exactly. The game in 2022, as unfortunate as it may be, the game is going to be in college is going to be won and lost with a lot of older guys now, unless they're a top 25 kid.
Yeah.
Right. Well, even so, like, you know, Kentucky, like, they have, how many top 25 kids did they have on the team? Like, there's just so much variance that, like, you have to have older teams. But it's just what else we got?
Well, we got to sing a Mitch Trubisky
The Steelers. I know Warzu's
we got all our draft Trubisky. Picks, my man.
Yeah.
That's all everybody's worried about.
I think the Steelers have had a great free agency period.
No, they did. Yeah, I mean, you know, I was a little skeptical at first, but then, man, I mean, once he sent that first shot out, they just kept rolling. I mean, the Miles Jack may be a Ferrier 2.0 move.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, he gives you a solid guy in the middle to stop the run. I mean, how many games did we give up 100 plus yards last year?
That was the worst Steeler defense against the run that I've ever seen in my lifetime.
No doubt.
I mean, that was like guaranteed, you know. No matter, they could be 28th against the pass, but you always could guarantee that they're going to be in the top five in run defense.
No doubt.
Oh yeah.
No doubt.
Yep.
I mean, if you get to it back, you know, and then you have all these signings, you know, even like Witherspoon, I like that. I like them re-signing him. Like,
yeah.
They've just had a really good, a solid off season so far. You know, I don't know what they're going to do at receiver. I'd like to see him, you know, like somebody like Chris Olave fall to them. And then just jump all over them because basically they have Deontay Johnson and then a bunch of one-trick ponies. But I don't see many things they could have done better.
I agree. I was catching a lot of flack because for the past few days on social media, I was saying the Steelers should take a wide receiver early. And look, guys, I get it. I'm used to it for giving opinions on Twitter and people killing me, and then I'm right. But now, it's looking like the Steelers are going to take maybe take a wide receiver in the first round.
Yeah.
Or maybe trade, but or maybe trade back or up in this. Just take one early. The one thing I never understood is how people are saying the Steelers should take a cornerback. But they're terrible at drafting cornerbacks, so why would you want a team who's terrible at drafting a certain position to take said position in the first round? But I'm with you. I mean, Olave, Garrett Wilson, a guy I like is Pickens, but I don't know if 20 is the right spot. But I'm with you. I think they need playmakers. They got, like you said, they got too many one-trick ponies. Claypool, go route only, jet sweep, that's it. I think they need a receiver.
Yep.
Well, they can, but, they can – Jordan, they can wait for Jordan Addison next year.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm hoping CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
All those things would be great. Those would all be great. Do we think?
I mean, a guy that they could get maybe is Ed Dodson from Penn State. I don't know what you guys think about him. You know, maybe back in the late first, trade up a little bit in the second. That could be a guy that they get some value with.
Yeah, I think he's not fast enough for my liking. I know he ran like, what do you run, like a 4.43?
Yeah, I mean, there.
It's sad, but that's like not even fast for his size.
I agree. And even talking about all these receivers and the Sky Moore thing, I think they need – That big true wide receiver number one, who's just bigger and physical, like the AJ Brown, along those lines, the T Higgins, you know, the borderline wide receiver one. I think that's what they need, even though the guys that are at the top of the board this year kind of are more wiry, you know, pop the top off the D like Olave and Pickens. I think that's a guy. Honestly, Pickens, I think, might be the guy that the Steelers should target, and maybe they are.
Yeah. I don't care who it is out of those wide receivers. If they pick one in the first round, I'm cool with any of them.
I agree with you. Just get a – honestly, as long as they take the biggest playmaker and the best guy on the board, I don't care. I saw people saying trade up for that Jordan Davis. I'm not trading up and using draft capital for a defensive tackle.
No.
Mm-mm. I mean, that with Jordan Davis and then Hayward and assuming Tua came back, though, like you would have like the best defensive line in the league.
No, that to me, I feel like Tua is not going to play another down for the Steelers. Maybe that's
you don't think so?
Something doesn't seem right to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, like, doesn't it seem like he probably missed most of last year because of his brother's death?
So, there's rumors that he failed drug tests or was failed drugs. There's something to do with failing drug tests where I don't know. That's just what I heard.
Yeah, so, that's interesting.
But we'll
see. That's interesting.
That's just what I heard in the last couple of days, that, you know, he couldn't really pass a drug test, so he used that whole stepping away.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure let's see, they're saying Watson's going to Atlanta, so maybe Juju probably follows. They're saying Juju may follow him to Atlanta. We'll see what happens there.
Go. Okay. Listen, you guys can have – they can have James Washington. They can have Juju. Take him.
Yeah.
I'd like Juju back.
Yeah. Just basically
it's the right price, for Juju, but I'm kind of over it, you know.
Yeah.
I don't care either way. To me, all that stuff like that, like, you know, people thinking like, oh, that stuff matters. Like that, the TikTok and all that BS does not matter to you know, winning or losing.
No, I mean, it's just it's annoying. His social media is affecting me
and annoying me. So that's
why it's really like, I'm sorry that that's such a hard organization,
just for my sanity. Just to all these, but honestly, and it's both sides. It's the Juju haters and the Juju lovers who both junk up my timeline and make me absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Sorry about that. That was a prompter.
Yep, 5 more minutes. I don't care either way about Juju. It would be nice for Mark Madden to find a new person to pick on.
Yeah, he's been hurting for a new person. With that retirement, I don't know what he's going to do with himself.
Right. Well, the person he has to pick on now is T.J. Watt, so he can prove he's not racist.
that's the point.
It's just so stupid. He's just an ass. He's picking on these people because that's what he does. Like, it's not. It has nothing to do with the race. It's just,
I think both sides are idiots, to be honest.
He's just like, oh, I got to pick T.J. Watt so I don't look racist anymore.
you have the people that wake up in the morning and want to like tweet at Mark about Mark Madden and how horrible he is. And then you have the people that wake up in the morning and want to rush to defend Mark Madden against all those losers that want to tweet about Mark Madden.
I remember I was on my way to a class, night class at Point Park, and Jerome Bettis was supposed to make an appearance on Mark's show. And he bailed out on Mark on the last minute because of his show on KK. I guess they felt that there would be a conflict of interest. And Madden ripped him all throughout throughout the show. I got a class, and he was still ripping Bettis. I guess he was saying that Bettis had sex with Jenna Jameson. And that was
ripping on him.
Yeah, he was doing. I guess you could say it's not really ripping, but he carried a grudge against Bettis for so long after that. But he just couldn't stand Jerome Bettis. Like he just, I think Hines Ward this.
He didn't like any of those guys except for Ben.
Yeah, I think it's because Ben lived by him. Supposedly,
he hated. You know, now of course he's doubling back on Hines because of Juju, but
yeah,
because it was good for his rating.
Yeah, he used to call him Wines Hard.
Right. Yeah, that was a. I mean, such a simple but hilarious nickname. So. All right, what do we got? Like 2 minutes left. Let's get one last subject in.
Mm-hmm. All right, what do we got?
We got to see about the Penguins.
what's the drink of choice for the NCAA tournament?
Oh man, I mean, look. So, I was unfortunately diagnosed with a gluten allergy, so it's either vodka tonic, or it got to be a White Claw.
Oh wow, I didn't know that. Well, you know my buddy actually owns my buddy from high school actually owns one of those gluten free beer companies that's based out of Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Aura. Oh, that dude. That I drink them all the time.
Really?
Oh, cool.
That's my third. That's my only other option.
Yeah. Two of my buddies started that company.
Yeah, man. I drink them all the time. That's the only beer I can drink.
Yeah, they're not bad. They're just so damn expensive.
Yeah.
Listen, everything gluten-free is triple the price of regular shit.
Right. You know, it's funny. We didn't even know what gluten was when we were growing up.
No, we just ate. 10 years ago when I was working in the restaurant business and people would give me their restrictions and say they're gluten-free. Shit.
Yeah, I mean, I ate whatever, so it didn't, matter. I think... I didn't realize I had a cashew allergy until I ate cashews at work one day, and my stomach felt like I ate like a bunch of glass.
One of my buddies in college was sitting at a random party, popping some peanuts, and looked at us and said, "Are these cashews?" And boom, all of a sudden, face blew up. Had to get him out of there to the hospital. It was brutal.
Well,
oh my.
Well, we got 15 seconds, so I guess we can end it here.
Yeah, yeah. Good
Thanks
talking to you guys.
Felt like I was back on college radio.
Let's do it again.
Yeah. Yep, sounds good.
No doubt.
All right, guys.
All right.
All right.